Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Canto 9, Chapter 14, Text Number 7, Text Number 8, do not have purports. So I'll read through those, and then together we could read text number 9. So 7 and 8 I'll say, text number 9 we'll all do together. Sarvadeva Ganopeto Mahendro Gurum Anvayat Sura Sura Vino Shopyut Samarashtaraka Mayam. King Indra, accompanied by all kinds of demigods, joined the side of Brihaspati. Thus, there was a great fight, destroying both demons and demigods, only for the sake of Tara, Brihaspati's wife. Text number 8. Nivedito tangiras. Nivedito tangirasa. Samam nirbar sya vishvakrit. Taram sva. Bartre prayachad antarvatnim avetpati. When Lord Brahma was fully informed by Angira about the entire incident, he severely chastised the moon god Soma. Thus, Lord Brahma delivered Tara to her husband, who could then understand that she was pregnant. Text number 9. And we'll do this together. Chaja. Chajashu. Dushpange. Mat. Shetrad. Ahintam. Parai. Naham Tvam Bashmasat Kuryam Striyam Santanike Sati Chaja Chaja Shu Dush Pragne Prajne Pragne Machetrad Ahitam Parai Naham Tvam Bashmasat Kuryam Sriyam Satanike Sati Tadja Tadja Shud Dushpragne Machetrad Ahitam Parai Naham Tvam Bashmasat Kuryam Sriyam Satanike Sati. Someone else, please.
Ladies. Ladies, please. Jaja, deliver. Jaja, deliver. Ashu, immediately. Dush Brage, you foolish woman. Matshetra, from the womb meant for me to impregnate. Ahitam, begotten. Parai, by others. Na, not. Aham, I. Tvam, you. Bashmasat, burnt to ashes. Kuryam, shall make. Striyam, because you are a woman. Santanike, wanting a child. Astati, although you are unchaste. Translation, Brihaspati said, you foolish woman, your womb, which was meant for me to impregnate, has been impregnated by someone other than me. Immediately deliver your child. Immediately deliver it. I assure that after the child is delivered, be assured that after the child is delivered, I shall not burn you to ashes. I know that although you are unchaste, you wanted a son. Therefore, I shall not punish you. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Tara was married to Brihaspati, and therefore a chaste woman. As a chaste woman, she should have been impregnated by him. But instead, she preferred to be impregnated by Soma, the moon god, and therefore she was unchaste. Although Brihaspati accepted Tara from Brahma, when he saw that she was impregnated, he wanted her to deliver a son immediately. Tara certainly very much feared her husband, and she thought she might be punished after giving birth. Thus Brihaspati assured her that he would not punish her, for although she was unchaste and had become pregnant illicitly, she wanted a son. Om Aganitsa Manandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umalitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So as we read on in this Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, he touches on some very important topics for us to learn, for us to study, for us to understand, and to do our best to educate the world outside, besides educating ourselves, but sharing that knowledge with the non-devotees. Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish a society of Brahmins. So it's very important that we study this philosophy, and even in topics that may be very difficult to understand or topics to speak on and to give to others. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to study these books and to learn this philosophy so we can educate those people who are less fortunate in this day and age, this Kali Yuga, which is very degraded. In this age, we are seeing that people are being taken advantage of by politicians. This society is made up of cheaters and the cheated. And in this age, people are being misguided. They're being misled. Mandasumanda Mateo Mandabhagi Upadruta. Also, a very important point is that chastity is no longer being followed. For the most part, we see that in this age of Kali Yuga, we speak about people being misled and taken advantage of. Well, the men are being taken advantage of, and the ladies are being taken advantage of. Unfortunately, chastity is very important, but unfortunately, chastity is not being followed. We see that so many women in our society are being hunted today, are being sought out by men, and only for sense gratification. But chastity is also the duty of a woman so that she's not taken advantage of. That's why there's the Varnashram system that Prabhupada said 50% of his work still remains to be done, and that's Varnashram, the Daivi Varnashram, Varnashram Dharma, where different classes are established. So we've got the Brahmanas and the Vaishyas and the Kshatriyas and the Shudras, and we have the Brahmacharis, the Grahastas, the Vanaprast, and Sannyasis. So it is the duty of the husband to protect the wife and to help with her chastity. And it is the duty of the wife or the woman to be chaste to the husband. And then in this way, there'll be much more harmony in this world. Now, when we speak about a man protecting a woman, it's not only physical, you know, like I'm going to protect my wife, or as they say in Spanish, you know, tengo fuerte y grande, you know, I'm going to protect the wife. No. That is there, but also protection is emotional as well. So in doing this, the husband, he provides, the man provides for the wife, the man provides for the husband provides for the wife, and then the wife is chaste to the husband. But it's very important that as devotees, that we know that example is more important than precept. I've had quite a few guests who visit the temple, quite a few guests who go to the restaurant approach me and say very nice things about what they see that the devotees are doing. And I ask, well, have you ever, you know, spoken to that devotee before? No, I don't know who that devotee is, but I like what I see. I like what that devotee does. I see that he's polite. I see he speaks nicely. You know, the ladies are very polite. You know, they come to work in the restaurant. They dress nicely. They're very polite to the guests. So this is important. So when someone is chaste and has chastity, then other people will see that. They pick up on that. And when a man is being setting a good example for those of us who are married, who treat the wife nice, they speak nicely in public to them, that also is a nice example. And our society at large today is not, they're not trained in this area. I wanted to read just some passage here in Bhagavad Gita about chastity. This is Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And this is in the observing the armies. So we both know that where Krishna, Arjuna are on the chariot, and Arjuna is actually being educated by Krishna. Now this is an example for us to take. So here's a great example of how example is very important. So I will just read the English translation and then the purport. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the woman of the family become polluted. And from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Rishni, comes unwanted progeny. So, of course, then we see, you know, from unwanted progeny, there's so much trouble. There's so many problems. A child will grow up not feeling wanted. You know, there's orphanages. There's people that are homeless because their parents have, you know, kicked them out of the house. Even in our society today, I was speaking with someone that I knew when I lived in Florida, and she was a welfare. She gave welfare. And she was amazed at how people would have children just to have children. And this is unwanted progeny, just so they can make more money, because the more children you have in the welfare system, the more money you get. So with this unwanted progeny, it actually creates a problem for Kali Yuga. Purport. Good population in human society is the basic principle for peace, prosperity, and spiritual progress in life. The Varnashram religion's principles were so designed that the good population would prevail in society for the general spiritual progress of state and community. Such population depends on the chastity and the faithfulness of its womanhood. So we see we all have parts to play in this big scheme of things. The men have a role, the ladies have a role, and if you put the two roles nicely together, then you get good results. And that is, you beget good children. As children are very prone to be misled, women are similarly very prone to degradation. Therefore, both children and women require protection from the elder members of the family. That also means the elder in our Krishna consciousness. We are polite. We speak nicely. And we offer respect not only to our God brothers, but to the ladies as well. By being engaged in various religious practices, women will not be misled into adultery. According to Chanakya Pandit, women are generally not very intelligent and therefore not trustworthy. Now, in our Krishna consciousness movement, this is not applying to the ladies because they are doing what the men are doing. They're chanting 16 rounds. You follow the regulative principles. They're doing devotional service. They're doing deity service. And therefore, they are the most intelligent and trustworthy. So the different family traditions of religious activities should always engage them, and thus their chastity and devotion will give birth to good population eligible for participating in the Varnashram system. On the failure of such Varnashram dharm, naturally the woman becomes free to act and mix with men, and thus adultery is indulged in at the risk of unwanted population. Irresponsible men also provoke adultery in society, and thus unwanted children flood the human race at the risk of war and pestilence. So these are very important points that Srila Prabhupada is making. And as we are trying to establish this more and more, this society of Krishna consciousness to become more prominent, as Srila Prabhupada said, establish the world of the established Brahmins, we are teachers. We have that responsibility. It's actually a very important responsibility to preach Krishna consciousness and help to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And so some of these points are they're difficult. We may even be challenged when we're speaking with non-devotees. But it's important that we study these every day, that we study Srila Prabhupada's books. We're in school, we're in college, we're in postgraduate. We are trying to do the most amazing thing that can be done. And what is that? Change our consciousness. The material consciousness that we had. And now we've come to Srila Prabhupada's movement. And we've gotten the Maha Mantra. We've gotten this philosophy. And somehow we've been deputized to go out and give Krishna consciousness to others. But if we're not going out on book distribution, it's very important to set that nice example, because people are watching very closely what we do. When you're out there in a dhoti, it's very, or a sari, or you have your bead bag and tilak on, it's very important to set a good example. It's very important to speak nicely, to be polite, to, by our example, people will inquire, well, what are you all about? I remember years ago, someone said to me, and I wasn't even wearing devotional clothes. We were on Sankirtan, and somebody said to me, you're so different than everybody else. You know, what's different about that? Like, what are you into? So, you only get one time. You get one time to make a first impression. One time to make a first impression. So, when you meet people, if they haven't met devotees, make it a good first impression. Okay, I wanted to stop here and see if we have 5 minutes left. These topics are a little bit deep and a little bit challenging for me to speak about. So I want to just stop there and see if anyone has anything they can add to something that I said, or even some questions. And if you can get the microphone, please, out of the closet. The microphone, please. To your right, Prabhu. Okay. Maharaj.
Thank you for a very nice, insightful class.
Well, thank you very much for your ongoing, wonderful...
Yeah, nice points that you made, which are thought-provoking, and using the scripture as your basis, especially the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which says so much. And although these were, in one sense, valid arguments that Arjuna was giving about society in general, they were definitely not valid for Krishna in terms of using it as a basis or as an argument to not fight in the war. So we learned so much from that. But what I'd like to mention is that you have spoken all about the chastity of women. And we need to talk a little about the chastity of men as well. I think that's just as important, you see. Men should not feel that women are essentially filthy and therefore they may be clean by being chaste. Men should feel the same sense of responsibility that is being encouraged for women. Men should feel that being a womanizer or being a tempter or going out and leading a very loose, licentious life simply because you're a man, and men tend to be a little bit more, a little more rough and tough and not as dainty and restrained as women tend to naturally be. So they should not feel that this is only applicable to to women, that they should be chaste. Actually, a man should be very watchful of his... It's not only for just brahmacharis. Actually, Prabhupada spoke so highly about the grahastha brahmacharis, grahastha sannyasis, who are very careful in in what they do. He gave the example of Lord Ramachandra, who had only just one wife when he could have had hundreds if he wanted, who set the very perfect example of self-control, sense control. And the idea of how men speak to women, how they should show respect to women, that they should make them feel that they are worthy of respect, and they should not be regarding women as simply objects of sensual enjoyment. So this takes cultivation, and as you mentioned so nicely, the chanting of Hare Krishna, the attending of these programs that we have, the glorification of God, worship of the Lord, praying to the Lord, interacting with devotees in the loving exchanges, all these tend to raise the consciousness, bring it to a higher level, so that a man can look at a woman as a person, first and foremost, and only secondly as a woman. As the soul, first and foremost, and secondly as a woman. One woman whom I know from the past for 35 years ago, I saw her just outside by the restaurant in the back there. And so we spoke for just a few seconds, and then... I said, I've taken sannyas. She says, "Oh, I shouldn't be talking to you." She said, like that. I said, "No, you should be talking. We're not talking about anything sensual or anything low or anything degrading or anything like that. And besides, I regard you first as a person, as a soul, and lastly, as a female. In fact, I'm not even concerned about your femaleness now. I'm concerned about your spirituality and how I can be of assistance to it in whatever way possible." So what I'm trying to bring out is basically that we as men should not just think that because we're men, we're smarter, we're more intelligent, we know spirituality in a better way than women. There are so many women that I have met who can outdo many men who think they're very spiritual, who are chaste, who are concerned, who are loving. They worship the deity. They have their deities. They come to the temple. But they're the unsung heroines, so to speak. They lead a very, very clean, pure, loving life. So let none of us take pride in our maleness or our femaleness, but let us rather take pride in the fact that we have a great founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, who set the perfect example for all of us, who gave us the guidance, gave us the direction, so that we can all develop in humility. Humility meaning that I am the servant of the soul of all beings, male, female, whatever. That doesn't really matter. The sex is an error. It doesn't mean I'm trying to deny sex, because each sex has its has her or his duties to perform. But my main point is that our chief duty is to surrender to Krishna, love Krishna, glorify Krishna, honor Krishna. And if we do all that, the other things will naturally fall into place, because they are set on the basis of the foundation of becoming Krishna conscious. That's all I want to say.
Jai, thank you very much.
I had a question. I was wondering, because Prabhupada says in a purport in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he lists the six aggressors, and he says that that you can kill them immediately and you won't incur sinful reaction. So I was just wondering, why didn't Brihaspati just kill Soma right away? And my other question was, why was there a big battle where many people were dying just over... Can you explain like the importance that there was a huge battle just over one person's wife and many people were dying over that?
Okay, I'm going to ask for some help on this one. Bhrigupati Prabhu has his hand up.
As far as the first part of the question goes... It was described that Soma had conquered the three worlds. It might not have been possible for Brihaspati to just kill him immediately. Sounds like he was a pretty powerful person, so that's just a thought.
Prem Sankirtan Prabhu.
Very nice class, thank you. If men and women in Grihastha life, in ISKCON, if they have sex outside, not only for procreation of children, like just sometimes, mm-hmm. This is also not considered chastity of men and of the women. They're not chaste.
So you're making a statement?
No, I'm asking you this question.
It's important, as Srila Prabhupada has, whether you're a grahastha, or you're a brahmachari, or a vanaprastha, or sannyas, there are rules to follow. And if there are couples having... sex, as you've said, for the sake of having it and not for the sake of procreation of children, then that's not proper. Following the four regular principles is no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex. And Srila Prabhupada said, and for procreation of children. So, you know, I'm just repeating what Srila Prabhupada said. Acharya Narottam Prabhu. We'll just go on for another couple of minutes, Prabhus.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much for a very nice presentation. Talking about chastity and how, especially how men relate to women, sometimes it gets confusing when the way how you address women. Like, for example, there is cases when I call Mataji and they don't like to be called Mataji. Or I cases that I call, I say Mata, he said, no, call me by my name. So what is the right way of when you relate to address women to use the term Mataji, Prabhu, or by her name? Because sometimes it gets confusing.
I know that, and I know what you're referring to, because I've also had that experience before. And out of respect, if a Mataji says, please don't call me Mataji, then I don't call her Mataji. However, if I say her name, it's in a respectful way. It's not like sometimes as like us, you know, like okay, my name is Sachi Nandana. So sometimes somebody will say, you know, hey Sachi, you know, amongst our peers, we and our friends, we can be a little loose like that. But when you're dealing with, when men are dealing with women or men are dealing with women, it's important to have that respect. And, you know, so I understand where you're coming from, because that's happened to me before also, where someone says, please don't call me Mataji. And I even did it once when I was in Florida. This lady is she's a professional. And there was people around, and I just called her mother and her name. And then she took me off to the side one time, and, you know, I mean, I've known the family for years and years and years. I taught her children in Gurukula. And she said to me, you know, please just call me. And that's what I do to this day. But it's very respectful. It's not like in any loose kind of a way. It's in a very, you know, still it's in a respectful way. As far as the Prabhu part, you know, we want to set an example for society. We want to this ISKCON society, so we call each other Prabhu. And that's, no one will fault you for that. But I even know the other day. And I don't think you heard it, Prabhu, but I wanted to get Savas Prabhu's attention for something, and I said, Savas! And then he didn't hear me. At least I don't think he heard me. And then I said, a little bit softer, Prabhu, because I realized that, you know, that familiarity breeds contempt. So we have to be very careful that it's that we're being respectful and we're using the titles that Srila Prabhupada has laid out. Now, someone may say, well, that's being fanatical. But we're not being fanatical when we're following what Srila Prabhupada has laid out for us. Srila Prabhupada said we should pay attention even to the small details, the small things, because you start slacking in one way, you start slacking in another way, you start slacking in another way, and before you know it, you know, you're slacking your 16 rounds, and before you know it, you're slacking the morning program, and before you know it, it's, you know, so one thing leads to the next. So, you know, it's pretty simple. We don't want to be, you know, think too much with all this, but, you know, Prabhu, Mataji, and if someone doesn't want to be called Mataji, then be respectful. And don't call that Mataji. You know, Mataji, you can use her name, but it should be respectful. So that's my take on that. So let us stop here. I want to thank you all for coming and attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. The fact that you're all here means that you value and see the importance of the morning program and coming to Bhagavatam class. Jai. Hare Krishna.